We're doing in Yaakov, we had discussed in our Monday class, when we learned in Yaakov last, we had discussed the Mishnah that discusses how long sperm remains alive. And then we had discussed the idea that out of modesty, people shouldn't be intimate with their wives by day when there's daylight out. And then we discussed that if the room is dark, then it is permissible. It's just that Chazal would recommend the person be productive by day and reproductive by night. The time for intimacy is at night. But for whatever reason, if there is a good reason, so then it's legitimate to be intimate by day, so long as there's darkness in the room. So long as you could get the room dark. That's what we had discussed in the Talmud on Monday. We continue. Ask the Gemara, Veha Tvule Yom Ninu. The people would have gone to Mikvah, and the sun wouldn't have yet set when they actually received the Torah, so they weren't yet in complete purity. In most instances, when a person goes to Mikvah, so his purity is only complete when the sun sets. So if Moshe told them, stay away from your wives 3 days, so on the third day, they could go to mikvah. On the fourth day, they could go to mikvah, but they won't have the sunset, and so they technically wouldn't be completely pure when the Torah was given. First opinion says, you're right, that's pure enough. They didn't need to be more pure than that. They didn't need to be 100% pure. They were what's called in halacha tvulei yom. So that's the first opinion here. Yes?
Partially pure?
Yes, that's what we're learning here, that there's purity and then there's perfect purity.
We were in our class, Weinberg, the time is truma.
Yeah, for sure. Yativ Mareimar v'kamar la lehai shmaita. Mareimar was quoting what we just said. Amar le Ravina le Mareimar. Ravina asked Mareimar, did you mean to say that nitena ka'amrit? Did you mean to say the Torah was given to people who were in fact not completely pure? Or did you mean to say that the Hashem was willing to have the Torah given to people who were not completely pure? But it could be that it didn't actually happen. Did you mean to say factually it happened or not? So he said to him, no, I didn't mean that factually they were Tvuleyom. I meant it could have been. From Hashem's perspective, that would have been okay. Top, there's a lot to discuss here. We discussed on Monday that there's halachic relevance to when the seed comes out of a woman, that would knock out a day of the 7 clean days. And we discussed that today that could be relevant with artificial insemination, where a woman will sometimes get artificial insemination during the 7 clean days, and then some of it comes out, and that should technically disqualify at least that day from the 7 clean days. When a woman has her period, so then when her period stops, after 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, whatever it is, she checks herself, and then for 7 days she checks herself, and then she can go to the mikvah, assuming all 7 days she was clean. She wasn't bleeding anymore. So we learned that if during those 7 days any sperm were to come out of her, any live sperm,
it would be at least 6 days after.
Oh, so that we said, how could that happen today? That could happen today if a woman had artificial insemination in the middle of the 7 clean days, and then some of that sperm were to come out, so then that would disqualify that day. Okay. It can also happen because, let's say a woman is pregnant, or she's nursing, or she's on a pill. So She's not having her period right now. But it can happen that she has a little bit of spotting, which will make her tummy. So now she needs 7 clean days and then to go to mikvah. So our custom, Ashkenazim and most Sephardim, say that it doesn't matter if she had a full-blown period. Anything that made her tummy means she has to wait 5 days as though she had her period. And then the 7 days begin. Even if she only spotted like for 5 minutes. We say wait 5 and then do your 7. Assume we treat everything like a period. But there is a discussion in halacha. You guys want to go into this? Should I go in depth over here in the halacha or just move forward?
Sure.
Move forward?
Yeah.
Leave it.
Yeah.
No. Okay. But no, go in depth?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Gentlemen, do we want to go in depth? Or should I skip this and move on?
I vote for going forward.
Going forward, not in depth.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go forward. If you two vote, I'll go.
I can't vote because one day I'm going to say if I vote to go forward, this would have been helpful. That's still good. My gun instinct is go forward.
Okay, but so we go forward. Fine. So the Gemara asks, "Velit velu beini shimshe, why can't the people go to mikvah in ben hashmashot? Velikablu Torah beini shimshe, and let them receive the Torah also on ben hashmashot." So that's interesting, as though they had a choice when they'd receive the Torah. So the Gemara answers, "Amar v'Yitzchak lo merosh b'seter dibarti." Hashem didn't want to give the Torah at a time that's dark. Hashem wanted to give the Torah by daytime. So that's difficult because what?
It's very dark yet. There's been a lot of fog.
It was dark, right? That's what it says in the song of Dvorah. That when Hashem came to give the Torah, there were a lot of clouds. But I guess clouds by daytime is not like nighttime.
Think about morning clouds? Because morning clouds are supposed to just fly out.
I don't know. It says it was in the morning, yeah. So why can't they get the Torah in the morning of Shabbos? Hashem didn't want a scenario where some people are busy going to mikveh while other people are going to get the Torah. Hashem wanted us all ready together. It's true that technically you could have had people going to mikveh that morning. Hashem didn't want that. He wanted us all to be ready in the same form of purity. We all go out to get the Torah together. Tino Rabbanan, we have a braisa that was validated by the academies of Rav Chia and Rav Oshaya. Yes, sir.
It says in Masechet Tani that a cloud in the morning just kind of doesn't really mean anything. It kind of like flies away.
Right.
So you're saying if the Matzah Torah was in the morning, were the clouds that just kind of fly away like a morning cloud?
I think there were different clouds. There were the clouds of Matan Torah, which are not the clouds in the Gemara and Tanis. The Gemara and Tanis is talking about on a regular natural day. Here you're talking about it's the summertime. There shouldn't be clouds at all. Hashem comes to give the Torah, so Hashem appears with clouds. It's not the same clouds. So it's the 6th of the month. First opinion says it's the 6th of the month. It would seem like we go with that opinion. We always celebrate Shavuos on the 6th. Of the month of Sivan. We know we left Mitzrayim on which day? The 15th of Nisan. The question is, did Nisan and Iyar of that year have 29 days or 30 days? If they each had 29 days, then by the time we receive the Torah, it's already the 7th of the month, right? 49 days later would bring us to the 7th of the month of Nisan, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Yomel B'Shivabo. And we have a big question in Halacha. We should technically rule like Rabbi Yossi. Why do we always celebrate Shavuos on the 6th? Amarava, de kuli alma Rosh Chodesh atu lemidbar Sinai. Rava says everyone agrees. They came to the desert on Rosh Chodesh because k'tivacha biyom hazeh bar midbar Sinai v'k'tivat machodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim. The verse describes both days as ze. That tells us that malan anot shosh afkan Rosh Chodesh. Either way, it was the beginning of the month. Now, one thing we see here. Now, the Talmud says, the pasuk says, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, here's the new month. We have a tradition that means, here's the Jewish calendar. And we discussed last week Thursday that historically, whoever controlled time, whoever controlled the calendar, controlled the people. It was one of the ways to control the people. When Yeravam ben Nevat wanted to rebel, if he could alter the calendar, he could control the people. When the people noticed that Caesar was playing games with the calendar, they assassinated him because he caused his reign to be a little bit longer. So control of the calendar means control of the people. But what's interesting here is that when Hashem tells Moshe in Mitzrayim, I want you to celebrate this as your first month, what does that mean? We're standing in Mitzrayim. Moshe is publishing a calendar, meaning this is a whole new system. We're not going to count by the Egyptian calendar. We're going to go by the Jewish calendar. So Chazal say it was a secret tradition they had all the way from Adam, the way the calendar would work, and they forgot it. And Hashem reminded Moshe Rabbeinu how to run the calendar. When did they forget it? I don't know. It says Avram knew, Yitzchak knew, Yaakov knew. So at some point between Yaakov and Moshe in those 200 years, they forgot it. Now that's 130 years. They forgot it. What's interesting here is that the Talmud assumes that this is all literal. Moshe Rabbeinu gets the mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. From that moment onward, we have an organized calendar. To the point where it's discussed, did we receive the Torah on the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan? You'd think, you know, they're busy in Mitzrayim, they're busy leaving Mitzrayim, they're running to this, they're running out. Who has time to think about what day of the month is it? No. They all knew it was the 15th, they went out, and the calendar was organized to the point where we have a discussion. Was the Torah on the 6th or 7th of Sivan, which means we already want to know, where 15 days later, did they make it a new moon, a new month on the 30th or the 29th? When did they have the new month? Meaning to Chazal, it was obvious that Midrash is to be taken literally, that the Pasuk is to be taken literally, that from Egypt going out, we already had an organized calendar. That's just interesting, that you're running a whole people who have not learned. I don't know if the Jewish people were literate. Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim, were they literate? Am Yisrael, you know, we assume they were, but I don't know if that assumption is correct. Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching them Torah. Is he also teaching them the Aleph Beis? Where would they know Aleph Beis from in Egypt? But they have a calendar. So you'll say the Levites were literate because the Levites were learning Torah. So you had an educated class. And then it would seem obvious that they should be the leaders, the Levites. If they were the educated ones, they weren't the ones in servitude. But all of this is assumption. I'm saying Chazal don't tell us this. Chazal don't say the Levites were the teachers and the educated ones because they were the higher class in Egypt. Chazal say because they were dedicated to Hashem. Chazal don't tell us the rest of the Jewish people were illiterate. I don't know. Where would they be literate from? How can they understand Hebrew? They spoke Hebrew. Lo shinu l'shonam. They spoke it. Did they also read it and write it? I don't know. Yes, sir.
A couple things. When it says in Masechet Shabbat, Yom HaShishi, that means that they say they're talking about the 6th of Sivan. So I guess that's not a proof. That's just a...
That's one opinion. That Medrash is going with this opinion, yeah.
And I guess this is not going right. Last Thursday we talked about Rabbeinu Gershon and Rambam, about if they had a set calendar, if they didn't have a set calendar.
Right.
So this is going by Rabbeinu Gershon that they had a set calendar.
Why?
Rambam said that they didn't know when the new month would be.
So? Either way. According to Rambam, so they had witnesses, they set up a court, and they set up the calendar. I don't mean to say they had a calendar like our printed calendar. I mean they were keeping track of the days. They knew the months. That means they had a calendrical system. I don't mean they had a calendar.
Not a Hila. No.
Whichever opinion you go with, they had a system. We see to the Gemara, it was obvious the system was in place and working. The Torah says, Achol Shazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, that's our first mitzvah in our tradition, is that means set up a calendar. A calendar, in other words, a calendrical system. That's not the Egyptian system. It's our system which balances between the sun and the moon. On the one hand, we go by the moon. On the other hand, we add leap years. We add a leap month to keep things in line with the seasons. We see here, it's very obvious to the Gemara, here and in other places, the system was fully functional when we left Mitzrayim. Yes?
So the debate here was on what day Moshe went up or something, but they got the 5th or the 6th, the 6th or 7th.
That also impacts that. You're right, over here the Gemara didn't yet say it, but yes, in other places the Gemara says that.
But the other thing that I just wanted to mention last year, I never went to Shiur. I don't really understand this idea that the Levites you know, it's one thing not to be the same level of slave, but they weren't like, it didn't prevent Moshe from being thrown into the Nile, you know, so that they must have had it bad also. I mean, it's an amazing thing, you know. They weren't sitting there studying books and not working all day and living, you know, like high-class Egyptians while their brothers were slaves. If they did, it's unbelievable. You know, every other group like that would be such hatred and jealousy. What did you do for us, you know?
So I mentioned that we find that the Levites had extreme caring for their brethren. Everyone understood that if they would try to help them, they would end up slaves as well. And yet, you see the names they called their children, bitter. Miriam. Miriam means bitter. Gershon, we're strangers there. It's not like, we're okay, you guys have a problem. Mirari, he's embittered me. The names they chose for their kids reflected that they really cared.
And even though they weren't slaves, because Moshe was...
No, they weren't slaves. Chazal say they weren't slaves because when Paro began the system, they didn't go in. But they didn't go in. I mean, the first day Paro said, everyone's invited to come work, we'll pay you. The Levite said, we're learning Torah, leave me alone.
But still, I mean, you know, Paro would say, okay, you didn't small for it, you're going anyway or another thing.
Right, so that's where the law of the priests saved them. Yeah.
And I guess, but it's,